Hello and welcome to the Walk Off, everybody. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. And Mr. Mack, I'm going to tell you, and you are aware of this, I have been trying to make baseball jokes work for like a year. And it's a difficult subject to tackle because the people who have the knowledge to get the references and what's going on. Normally, it's a small percentage of people. I always make the joke of like baseball fans are like people with a foot fetish, right? Everyone knows there's lots of them out there, but
The
they're
closet.
mostly on the internet. Yeah. So,
Yep.
so trying to get a room full of regular, normal people who aren't baseball fanatics to laugh at baseball jokes is tough. And buddy, I was a good robot at the brewery here in Halifax last night and did my whole set pretty much on Shohei Ohtani. And I think it's the best I've ever done with baseball jokes. I was just so excited. Like, I've got the audio. I know I sent it to you. And for everyone listening here, we will put it out on the channel here later today or tomorrow. But and it's it I'm not killing, and I had 3 pints, so I do say the fuck word too much, but I was very happy with it and I was pleased with the jokes. So you guys can kind of let me know what you think, unless you
Hold
hate
on.
it and want to rip me apart.
Okay, I could try something. I can try and just play it right now on my computer and see if the recording picks up the audio. Do you want to try that?
Sure.
Bear with me here. I'm hearing this for the first
Hey,
time.
gang. It's funny, every time I play this room, I always get nervous, you know, because everyone's I was so hip and cool, and I have to give myself like this pep talk before I come in. I'm like, don't give away that you're old. Fucking match your shirt with your hat. Wear sneakers. No one will fucking know. Everyone will think we're all the same age. It'll be fine. Right? And then I get in here, and it's like, you guys aren't that hip and young. The show is nice. I feel in my element. So, obviously, now that I'm aware that we're all pretty much plugged into the same thing, let's start with this, okay? Sports. Fucking. The best. Right? The drama, the intrigue. Listen, I was up to like 4 in the morning yesterday on Twitter just searching for Shohei Ohtani memes after the news dropped. Right? For those of you who don't know, Shohei Ohtani, just last night it was found out that his interpreter, Ipe, right? He either, okay, stole $4.5 million from him to pay off his bookie, or he was placing sports bets and his interpreter is falling on the sword for him, right? Which makes you wonder, holy shit, is Shohei Pete Rosing right now? So Pete Rose is the greatest hitter in the history of baseball. Over 4,000 hits for this man. He got busted betting on his home team to win, which is a hilarious way to go down and be exiled from baseball. You're not even affecting the game, you're literally still trying to win. But he's not allowed in the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose is literally a pariah in the baseball world. And if you don't know who Shohei Ohtani is, you're fucking racist. Just the greatest unicorn to ever play the sport. Pitches, one of the fucking best pitchers, okay? On the verge of a Cy Young Award. He's injured right now. He's also a hitter, one of the best hitters in all of baseball. Listen, this isn't about that. This is about Ipe, okay? And the fact that obviously Pete Rose should have had an interpreter. Breaks. I'm the worst. Like, I can't help. I'm just like literally scrolling and scrolling looking for insanity. Some of the fan theories, they're the best. They're the best. Okay. So here's my favorite. Okay. This is my favorite. This is from Balls with a Z, by the way. Balls 6969 fuck, but with a F-U-K. No C in there. Balls 6969 fuck says, the truth will come out. Ohtani's interpreter was actually his gay lover. Which would explain why he secretly got married
parenthesis, to a woman to shield himself of any questions about his sexuality. Sports, man, they're the best.
Oh, that was good, Scott. That was good.
Okay, thanks.
Pete Rose.
It recorded it? I couldn't hear it.
Yeah, I realized that a few seconds into that. I'm like, you probably can't hear it. I could see the levels on my recording, so I know it's going up. I don't think Patreon heard it, so I'll put it up just for Patreon as a separate thing.
But, perfect.
Yeah, I think YouTube and Spotify and stuff should. So it was really good.
Now that we've weeded out the casuals, and my apologies to those of you who weren't into a 3.5 minute stand up bit to start this baseball podcast off, but thank you for indulging me. All right, lots to talk about. We're not going to get into Shohei. I know Adam and Hey Commie, Joel, good friend of the show, and our writing partner in the show we're doing. At spring training right now, took time out of his day yesterday for a Patreon exclusive special with Adam getting into, you guys talk Shohei for what, hour and a half?
Yeah, close to 2 hours, I think, by the time we were done.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you're a Patreon member, you can find that on Patreon. If not, $4 a month gets you into the Discord, gets you all the extra content, so on and so forth. We always appreciate the support. And on that, speaking of stand-up really quickly, I'm going to plug it one more time. I am in Cape Breton, in Sydney tomorrow night, Breton Brewing. Tickets are a little over half sold out. Go and get those. Okay, at the brewery, $20, or give them a call, Breton Brewing in Sydney, Nova Scotia. My last show out here before I fly back to Calgary on Sunday. Let's have some fun. $20 a ticket. Okay.
Will you have more Shohei material by then is the big question.
I will be doing some Shohei material there. Now that it's worked once, I'm going to, yeah.
Can you spin the whole like premise of foot fetish baseball fans into relating that there's two teams about socks in baseball? can you tie that together for me, Scott?
You're like, the Venn diagram of foot fetish and baseball fans is actually right there in Chicago and Boston.
Boston. There it is. Yeah. All right.
Stuff happening in Blue Jays land. Santiago Espinal on the way to Cincinnati. They finally moved a very, very busy infield, opening up a spot there. So we will dive into that. Bye-bye, ESPY. Bowden Francis, it was just announced, makes the team. So he is going to be the fifth starter, maybe even the fourth for the first week or so until the Jays figure out exactly what's going on with Kevin Gausman. And we will delve into that, update you on where Gauz is at. J.D. Martinez finally signs. Scott Boras clients.
Hold on. Check your group chat with Joel.
All right. This is
too funny to pass. I'm laughing out loud at this right now.
Oh, man. Too good.
What a lookalike, though, hey?
Yeah, what a lookalike. Joel sent a picture of a doppelganger of Ross Atkins. And he's like, almost went up and punched this innocent guy in the face.
Joel, not a fan of Ross Atkins.
No, he is not.
The glasses are the same, the haircut's the same, everything is.
Yeah, a little grayer. Yeah. If Ross was doing his job, he'd have the same amount of gray hairs as that gentleman. Okay, Bowden Francis makes the team. That was announced. J.D. Martinez signs with the Mets. And we're going to do a comparison of J.D. Martinez versus Justin Turner. And we'll leave it up to you folks, the grounds crew, to fill in the blanks in the comments section. Who would have you rathered? I know that there's a lot of folks who feel like J.D. Martinez was the way to go. A lot of folks feel Justin Turner was. Mailbag, we'll dive in. So we'll get into that. Davis Schneider. Oh, my God, man. The catch he made yesterday in Pittsburgh in the outfield was absolutely spectacular. We're going to talk Davis Schneider and the fact that maybe we're going to see him slot in as that fourth outfielder a lot more than maybe anticipated. I know that he has started 3 games in left field in the last week after seeing almost no playing time in left to start spring training. So obviously the Jays are up to something. We'll get into it. Ricky Tiedemann, oh boy. Rumblings he might make the team out of spring. I mean, I would be absolutely shocked, but we're going to see what would need to happen for that to go down. And then finally, we'll talk the renos at the Rogers Center, what the extra perks are, and what it could mean for this organization moving forward. On that, Tuesday night, it drops that Santiago Espinal, former All-Star for this team, 2022, getting that bump. Now, I know everyone brings up he was an All-Star. Do remember that it was injuries that got him into the All-Star game. There were guys who couldn't start, Jose Altuve being the big one. Still a huge honor for a guy like Espinal to go to the All-Star game. But we didn't just move an All-Star for a single-A pitcher, which is some of the rhetoric I'm seeing online. Santi has not been that guy, and he has actually declined in his production in the last 18 months since that happened.
If the All-Star game was played in November, he wouldn't have been an All-Star.
He wouldn't have been an All-Star. Matt if it was Chapman played in was August, almost an if it was played in August, year. He wouldn't have been an All-Star. Yeah. Not slagging on Santi, by the way. Like,
just flinging mud on his way out the door. Hey, buddy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So the Jays moved him to basically, I think the writing was on the wall that Ernie Clement was going to take that spot. And rather than take a guy who has been instrumental as a utility guy for this team for the last 4 years, a dude that they got in 2018 when they moved MVP, World Series MVP, Steve Pierce to the Red Sox for Espinal, I think it was kind of a favor to Santi. Rather than stuff him in AAA, because he did have options, they are giving him an opportunity to play in an organization and stay in the bigs. The return isn't anything to write home about. That said, you never know with a prospect. So Toronto acquires right-handed pitcher Chris McIlvain from the Reds for infielder Santiago Espinal. McIlvain was a Vandy boy alum, so Vanderbilt. Of course, Phil Clark and Austin Martin, a couple guys that the Jays have drafted out of Vanderbilt. Had a 1.3 whip across two Reds affiliates last season. So quick scouting report on Jays pitching prospect, Chris McIlvain. Just a shout out, by the way, to Nene Takes, who, if you are on Twitter and not following him, do yourself a favor. Nobody deep dives prospects like this kid. And on top of it, he also has a separate account specifically for Blue Jays prospects called Jays Prospectus, at Jays Prospectus. This is his work here that I'm reading off here. Friend of the show, Nene, has been on. So here it goes.
Second account should be called JJ Takes. I'm sorry. That's a missed opportunity, Nene.
Really, really dropped the ball there. Man. I'm actually going to message him that later. Okay, so this kid's 23 years old. He pitched to a 3.75 ERA across 96 innings in low A and high A last year. 93 miles an hour with a good characteristic average pitch. Slider is most used secondary pitch, throws a changeup, curveball, sinker, and average control. Chris McIlvain, the starting pitcher for the Jays, received from Santiago Espinal, has been assigned to High A Vancouver. The Jays just announced yesterday night. So there you go. A little bit about the kid that came back.
Well, I heard
we're going to talk.
I heard the Jays were really high on this guy, initially offered Alek Manoah for him straight across. They were like, no, we don't want him. Give us Espinal instead. Jays were like, fine. Tough price to pay. We'll keep Manoah. Yeah. Look, Espinal, 29, will be 30 this year. I know he has options.
He is what he is.
But yeah, I don't think any good scenario leads to us bringing him back up and being excited about it. Like, he's had a long enough of a runway in Major League Baseball, I think. Even if he dominates in AAA. You know, all right, he's a 4A guy. Like, he can't. He's not. You know. He could fill in, like, if we needed something that, like, I think the floor on him is quite low or is quite high as a what he brings to the table. Like, he's not
utility
gonna be,
guy.
He's not going to hit 170 in the majors and commit 1,000 errors. But I think other than that glimpse we saw pre-All-Star break, I don't think he's ever getting back there. So for a guy that's 29, to move on from him, give him another chance in another organization, I think that's good. It's much better than him toiling in AAA, because he's also, I think, taking away developmental reps for the next wave of second baseman for this team, right? Like,
yeah,
doesn't do, I don't know who our second baseman in AAA would be, but doesn't do the team any good to have our second baseman of the future sitting behind Espinal, right? In AAA.
Yeah, 100%. So, 100%, man.
Yeah, even if the return isn't thrilling, it's kind of like, well, I do think it was either that or just release him outright.
And you know what? Ernie Clement has earned a spot. You know, like, as much as there is some nostalgia to go along with Santi and that he has provided Jays fans with some really special moments, and I wish him all the best, Ernie Clement's the guy who should have had that job. So the Jays are taking the best player with them north, and I respect that. And honestly, man, we're going to get into Bowden Francis, who was the prospect throw-in when the Jays traded Rowdy Tellez to Milwaukee for Trevor Richards. And now Bowden Francis is going to be starting in our rotation. So you never know where a prospect goes. I'm not saying that McIlvain is going to be that guy, but at 23 years old, you never really know what you have until you put a couple years of development in. So we'll see what comes of it. Perfect transition to Bowden Francis. John Schneider Francis Bowden. That's right.
Why is it Bowden as a last name, Bowden as a first name? I'm not singling you out. I'm the same way when I say it as Francis Bowden. I would never say Francis Bowden, but Bowden feels like a first name more than Bowden does. Anyways, sorry. As you were, my liege.
Okay, so it was announced that Francis is going to be in the starting rotation this year. Big congrats on him. Made his major league debut last year with the Blue Jays. Spent some time in the bullpen as a long man. This is from the mouth of John Schneider, manager. He says, we talk about Francis holding his stuff throughout longer outings. He's done that in our eyes. And I think it also taught him how to pitch a little bit, said Schneider. Everyone goes to velo with Bowden and is going to drop as he pitches and isn't going to drop as he pitches. But he can still get up to 94 and 95 in the fourth, fifth inning. Two strikes and still pitch 90, 91, 92, and then pair his other stuff so well with that. I think that's what really excites us too, watching him evolve as a pitcher. And we have seen it as fans too, right? He's really kind of learned how to pitch, how to use his weapons and how to take advantage of hitters with his curveball and fastball combo. He's been fantastic this spring, and he definitely deserves a spot. So a big congrats to Bowden Francis, Kevin Gausman. Good news, okay? Kevin Gausman bounced back well from Wednesday. He threw a simulated game. He'll pitch next Monday, targeting 60 to 65 pitches over three innings, either in a minor league or in the Blue Jays' final spring training game in Bradenton. Are we going to see Kevin Gausman miss any significant time? It doesn't look like that's going to be the case, which is just good news for the Blue Jays. We will talk Ricky Tiedemann. I think Tiedemann might be the next guy up, which is absolutely wild. I know that I've got in our show notes here, JD Martinez is the next topic, but let's just get right into Ricky here. It flows smoothly, and it really is. When you look at the starting rotation, he probably is the guy the Jays have a little asterisk next to as to if Mitch White, if they don't feel Mitch White can take the ball and run with it as a starter for a couple of starts, we might see Ricky Tiedemann break with this team. Rob Longley actually just tweeted out, Rob Longley, one of the analysts for the Jays, he's with the Toronto Star. He said, plenty of moving parts, but Blue Jays manager John Schneider acknowledged today that Ricky Tiedemann is in the mix to break camp with the team and start the opening series. I don't buy it either. Listen, for Ricky Tiedemann to get called up, I really think, okay, so I'm all over the place on this, but May 1st, if they bring him up, they get a full extra year before arbitration, which could save this team $10 to $15 million in the end if Ricky Tiedemann pans out. Is Ross Atkins back against the wall enough to not worry about service time, something that he has spent his entire tenure with the Jays worrying about? Maybe. It is possible if he feels that Mitch White is just going to lose games and lose opportunities for this team to put up W's. It's possible. But I still think they're going to find a way. And this is going to depend on Kevin Gausman. Because if Kevin Gausman can come back and pitch four innings in, you know, like last game of spring, he gets up to 60 pitches and they clear him to pitch 75 next outing. They could just throw Kevin Gausman in there and do a bit of a bullpen day, go 3-4 innings with Gauz, and everyone's fresh in the pen, right? Yeah. Lots of guys in the pen have options, so you can yo-yo them up and down throughout the season. I can't imagine them burning a year of Ricky's arb, but if they do, I think that does signal that Ross Atkins is actually on the hot seat this year and is putting the best team on the field he can.
Yeah. I don't want to see it, though. But, I mean, we also poo-pooed on the idea of bringing Alek Manoah up when they brought him up 3 years ago. So we clearly know.
And now look who's right about Alek Manoah. No.
We waited the long game there. Yeah, that was the problem with Alek Manoah. They brought him up a few weeks too early and wasn't ready.
It really came back to bite them in the ass 2.5 years later. Yeah.
As the old saying goes.
Grounds crew, what are your thoughts? Do you think Ricky Tiedemann gets called up before April 28th, which is the deadline day as to pushing his arb? Or do you think that the Jays are just going to find a way to get him in this starting lineup early? I would be shocked. Adam, over, under. What do you think? Think there's any way we see Ricky Tiedemann before April 28th?
April 28th? Is that our cutoff? I would say over? After? Whatever
yeah,
means
after.
After?
Yeah.
Yeah, after the 28th. Even with Ross Atkins back against the wall, seat as hot as it gets, it's still like, yeah, I don't know.
It's a weird one, right?
It's a weird one. So, yeah. No, I'd say we do see him this year, but after the necessary service time manipulation deadlines.
So. He has survived to this point, right? Like the Jays just announced the following players have been reassigned to minor league camp, and that's Connor Cook, Hayden Younger, Brandon Izard, Mason Flaherty, and Phil Clark, and Ricky Tiedemann still with the big club. So he is making an impression. He pitched yesterday to a one run, one hit, 5 Ks over 3 innings. He has stayed healthy since coming back from his little inflammation in his shoulder. And that's really the key here for Ricky is staying on the field and continuing to log innings and gain experience. So we'll see. Number one left-handed pitcher, according to Baseball America, when it comes to prospects. So there'll definitely be some playing time available, but I don't think it'll be in April.
Is... on. Hold on. Hold on, Scott. Nate Pearson, because I know we love talking Nate Pearson. Does he make the team?
No, I don't think he does.
Is he a bullpen arm?
Nate Pearson makes the team if Eric Swanson and Jordan Romano and their shoulder soreness continues into April.
Fair enough. Yeah, I don't know what to say about Nate. It's almost time to Espinal that kid. You know?
I mean, Nate Pearson's 27 years old now. There's still a window where he can find it, you know, and relievers sometimes. I mean, we were all so hyped on Julian Merriweather and stuck with him for so long. And then at 32 years old, he went to the Cubs last year and became one of their most dominant pitchers in the bullpen. So like there is a pathway for Nate to become a very good bullpen piece somewhere. Is it here? I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe it is time to Espinal him, but
I don't know. It's exhausting thinking about Nate Pearson.
It is.
It feels like a third season in a row where it's been time to put up or shut up for Nate. So
it has been a third season in a row.
How much more rope does he get? I don't know. But I almost think that's why we got to just start him on the big club. It's just like, just fucking run him out of bullets, man. Like, let's.
Yeah.
Let's see what we absolutely have or don't have. And then move him off the 40 man and give that spot to someone else. Cause like, I don't know. The hype of Nate Pearson is so much more exciting than any on-field product we've seen, save a few innings in the latter part of a few seasons ago. But yeah, just sucks to keep waiting around for him to maybe turn into something. I don't know.
Moving on. Announced just yesterday, J.D. Martinez has found a home. It is going to be the New York Mets. They signed him to a one-year, $12 million deal, which let's just read out the stats here because Justin Turner in 2023, a OPS plus of 114, 23 home runs entering age 39 season. J.D. Martinez in 2023, 134 OPS plus, 33 home runs and is entering his age 36 season. Turner got 1 year, $13 million, and JDM 1 year, $12 million. Only one of those guys has Scott Boras as their client or as their agent as well. So this was floated out. JD Martinez this offseason was searching for $20 million. That's what Boras had kind of put his price tag at. He turned down an offer from an undisclosed team of $14 million and then wound up signing for 12. I guess I'll just ask it right out and feel free, Grounds Crew, to fill in the blanks here, what you would have preferred. Looking at what JD Martinez received, would have you preferred Martinez signed by the Jays, 3 years younger, a better numbers from last year? Or would you prefer Justin Turner? And do you believe more in one or the other going into 2024?
I totally don't care or have favor either way.
I feel the same way. Like I they're almost interchangeable to me. And maybe that's the wrong way of looking at it. Like JD does have more power. I just don't know if I'm just not sure I'm convinced that Martinez's success last year didn't have a lot to do with being sandwiched between Freddie Freeman and Will Smith. You know, like there was a lot of protection in that Dodgers lineup for him, and you had to pitch to JD Martinez. You couldn't pitch around JD. Whereas Justin Turner on the Red Sox last year did not have the same sort of protection in the lineup.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, part of me just wants to say, well, I guess if that's how I feel about them, that it is a toss-up, give me the guy that costs less money, except that without it being a hard cap sport, if we're not spending that money we saved, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
How much would we pay Justin Turner?
13. So JD is making $1 million less.
Yeah, I mean, to save $1 million that we wouldn't have spent anywhere else. Yeah. No. Yeah, it's just as toss up as it gets. Hindsight's 2020. We'll figure it out in the end.
We'll tackle this on Mailbag Grounds Crew. So go ahead and let us know. Do you care? Do you like Justin Turner? I'm really warming up to Justin Turner as I'm watching him in spring training. I like what he's doing. I like what he's bringing to the table. The guys seem to really like him. But what if I just felt the same way about JD Martinez if I was watching him and he was doing as well as JT is? Probably. So who knows? Let us know in the comments. Okay, moving on to Davis Schneider. There is still a hole in this Blue Jays lineup for a fourth outfielder. Now, it is a very crowded infield, especially with Ernie Clement becoming a member of this team. I think that it goes without say that he has taken over for Santiago Espinal. I do think we're going to see him play a lot of second base. I think we're going to see him at third quite often. I think he's going to be the guy to dispel Bo when he needs to get off his feet for a day. Can play all three infield positions. And that leaves Davis Schneider kind of free-floating. Where does he fit in this lineup? He does have options. There has been talk that maybe Davis Schneider isn't guaranteed a big league spot coming out of spring training like a lot of us assumed he was. Although watching the last week of play, I'm starting to think Davis Schneider might be pegged a little bit more for that fourth outfielder spot. We watched him make an absolutely like mind-bending catch in Bradenton against the Pirates last night, where he dove and caught the ball over his head going into a roll, gets up instantly and prevents the guy from tagging from first to go to second. Just a beautiful defensive play. And so I think that Davis Schneider, if he can prove he can handle himself in left, is going to be seeing more outfield time than maybe originally anticipated, because he was really pegged as the everyday or, you know, second baseman with Biggio. I think he's still going to get some reps at second, but I think the plan for him to get him on the lineup might be a little bit more outfield focused.
On the topic of that catch, I haven't seen enough of him playing defensively, so I don't know what the rest of his scouting report is for him as an outfielder. But I am curious if a catch like that, for one, moves the needle at all for the Blue Jays organization, right? Like, is it just we already valued him as a B-, C-plus outfielder. Now he's a B++. Like, I don't think anybody's going, oh, wow, he can really make a diving catch that he took a bad line to on the ball for. Or is it more of that? Like, does it help him or hurt him? Because when I watch this catch back again, it's like he catches it half spun in a direction where, like, it looks like he just took a bad line to the ball and then at the last second made a good adjustment, like tip of the cap to him. But
the Lourdes, if you will.
Well, I'm just
the Lourdes catch.
I'm just asking the question here of organizationally, do they value the fact that he could make an adjustment and has the reflexes / athleticism to pull off a catch like that? Or do they hold it against him that he got a bad read on it or took a bad line to the ball? Or do they just say, well, it happens and sometimes balls tail off at the end? Like, I would just love to be in the room of the conversation evaluating a player based on a play like that. Or if it even fucking happens and we're just like making a big deal of like, oh, this really, here's the fourth outfielder just showed up. Or is the team already like, nah, we've already got our fucking mind made up pretty much. And that doesn't help or hurt him. And we don't really like, cool.
I think nice it leans highlight. Far more. Yeah. I think it leans far more to the latter of what you're
not
saying.
Mattering
I think
at all.
Yeah. I mean, kind of again, I do think that, So if he makes half a dozen of those type of catches, sure. I think that does move
the next
needle.
Kevin Pillar.
Yes. Sure. But one catch like that, I think there is something to be said for maybe making a mistake to the route to the ball and still making the play. There is, you know, a tip of the hat, you know, the old Lourdes, right? Like the amount of times you saw Gurriel take a horrible route to the ball and still make the play. But yeah, it's a good point, Adam. And I do think that Davis does figure into this team's plans moving forward.
Just also, the fact by the that way, for me, shitting on him taking a bad route to the ball, potentially. Again, he might have taken a perfect route to the ball and it was windy. I don't know. I don't know the fucking what was going on there. Could have just tailed off at the end, whatever, right? He could have done everything perfectly right. All I'm saying is, if he did take a bad read on the ball, took a bad line to it, I don't even hold it against him because he's not an outfielder. Like, he didn't grow up as a, you know, he's been playing middle infield for us for the last several years. So if this is part of his, like, development is, oh yeah, right, he's learning to play outfield. Like, personally, I don't hold it against him that, like, oh, an infielder took a weird route to the ball in the outfield. Like, yeah, he hasn't been taking fly balls in left field for the last 6 years. Of course he's going to take some misreads on the ball. Like, he's not.
Yeah.
He hasn't been an everyday outfielder for the last 5 years. So, like, relax, Adam. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But whatever. I don't know why I even brought it up.
No, but I agree. I don't think one play for any player is going to move the needle within an organization. But to see the extra, I think the extra effort he gave does, I don't think move the needle, but is a positive check in the Davis Schneider should make the team. Positive, negative list. I don't know. All right. Let's end on the renovations, which will be entirely complete by April 8th. So the second phase of the Rogers Center renovation, with a price tag for the entire project now pushing toward $400 million, so half a billion, half a Shohei, if you will, according to Toronto Blue Jays president CEO Mark Shapiro, will be finished before the home opener. The benefits, these are some of the extras that we're going to see at Rogers Center this year. Seating that's closer to the field and more orientated toward the action in the lower bowl, which will be nice. One thing I will say about the way the seats were set up in Rogers Center, they were all facing each other on the side. So you're constantly kind of needed to turn your head to face home plate, which, you know, as you get older, you realize, let's not mess with neck kinks. Like, let's just
do that for 4 hours.
Yeah. So that's great. A better home clubhouse with batting cage and running track behind the expanded dugout, and then new club lounges for all the Richie Riches. And that'll be ready mid-season. So the more interesting thing, because I could care less about these upgrades for the most part, but the more interesting thing is Mark Shapiro saying this will better support the way we've spent the past few off seasons. Okay. Which there's a few ways you can interpret that, I think. You can either interpret it as he's been selling Rogers on increased revenue with this reno, and to, don't worry, all this extra money we're spending right now will be made back. Or if he's saying we can spend more now that we're bringing more money in, I don't know. This is all speculation. But it did also come out that he's not going to talk about it and feels that it should be kept secret between the players and the organization, but did mention that there are ongoing talks about extensions with Bo and Vlad. Take that for what you want. He didn't get into details or elaborate or give any sort of nugget to the media to make you think that anything is impending, but the fact that he didn't straight up squash it, which he has numerous times over the last few years, has been like, we're not, it's the middle of the season, we're not talking that. So, I don't know. You think they're going to spend more money now that they're making more money? It's not really how business works, is it?
No. Yeah. The finances of. Oh, it's so. It doesn't matter to me, like, almost at all. Like, I hope people show up, but I don't know. Like, I just don't know. I mean, the data must be there to support these changes, but also, like, I would have to assume more ticket sales is just the best thing you can do for your team. Like, get more butts in seats.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the product on the field. Like, I don't know how many people went to a game in Toronto last year that wouldn't have, other than, man, these new fucking activities on the concourse sure are sweet and worth checking out. Like, mm-hmm. I'll get them in the door once, but, you know, you gotta be pushing sellouts every game, and the only way to do that is with a good product on the field.
The product on the field. Thank you. Exactly.
Because otherwise, I mean, you could just jack the price up of tickets, $5 for every seat, and I think everybody's just going to begrudgingly be like, ah, fine. Pay your stupid carbon tax.
Yeah. But,
here's an interesting, while we're on the topic of renovations and seat pricing and everything. Yesterday, I don't know if you saw this, the Miami Marlins. You know where I'm going with this?
No.
Announce new all-you-can-eat seats.
Oh, I did see this.
Yeah, so this is in section 201 to 204. So this is like the, not quite the upper deck, but the second deck out in right field foul line. So like, have to imagine not the most premium seating options, but mm-hmm. $52 gets you all you can eat hot dogs and popcorns and all variety of stadium foods.
That's pretty good, actually.
I think that's a great idea. Like,
I think, yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, smarter than all you can drink.
Smarter than all you
Fewer can problems drink. There. Yeah. No one's filling themselves full of hot dogs and creating problems in the stands.
No, but I like seeing this sort of thing. I think the Diamondbacks had that interesting like season tickets for like $100 kind of a deal or whatever. That was also like swing seating. Like, we'll just stick you where we stick you kind of a thing. But like, I don't know. I think these are better ideas for getting fans out than just like, oh, we're going to jack up the super premium boxes and hopefully get some more corporate people coming. Like,
yeah.
That's how I feel. Anyways, just do more cool stuff for the poor folks like us than justifying a bigger price tag for tax write-offs for Elon Musk.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I agree. And on that, that's the show, folks. Thanks so much for following along. Kate Bratton, come out. Yes. Bratton Brewing tomorrow night. $20, get your tickets at the brewery. Thanks again to all the Patreon members. We do really appreciate it. Obviously, if you're considering joining Patreon, $4 a month gets you into the Discord, gets you access to MLB Mondays, instant access to all of our interviews, and our love.
Hey, that's really, you put a price on that.
You can't put a price on that. All right, folks. Thanks again. Take care. Cheers.